Australian Bible Church for a Presbyterian Church, March 18th, 2012. A message in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we seek to serve without compromise, by faith, according to the Bible, without qualification. It's a message not only to Presbyterians, but for the world, and it's number three in our treacherous mall for murder. Today's the third, and its title, Temporality and Servility. Many are the trials before the glorious greatness of the Lord. We also, the servant is not above his master, find something of the treachery and the trials that Christ suffered because we belong to him. We must be ready for them, and today we'll look at some of them. Temporality and servility, or you could say, things now and things bowed to. As an alternative, the spiritual option, things forever and things justly worshipped. The putting off of the second for the first brings many confrontations, and we start with confrontations already come and in kind that will come. In Australia, a land of independence, memorably so. Sacrificial wars to maintain liberty, obviously so. A land of individuality and entrepreneurial action, freedom from alien lordship, and passionately so. These challenges are now mounting in ways almost unthinkable 50 years ago. What evils and affronts have hit this nation? There's a current series which I'd like to look at, which taken jointly amount to treachery to truth. A nation betrayed as Christ was betrayed by one of his disciples. Despite this, we must act in the power of the resurrection of Christ, as in Ephesians 1:19, just as he acted in the power of his resurrection when he was betrayed by actually rising. Firstly, there has been an institution of learning. Colleges and schools in captivity, there's nothing short of it. At the secondary and tertiary and even younger levels. Knowledge is captured by the culture of political hacks. Those who obey the mandates from man existing in their hearts. Minimizing or extinguishing the Christian part in our history as if it didn't exist. In parallel with Rudd's appalling apology on behalf of all who were displaced from their families, whether it was by a parental request or to deliver the children from immoral abuse, which according to all reports continues, or the Howard agenda, which may not have been perfect but had a point, is stalled in its tracks in an unexpected fashion, and the immorality continues. What, as a cultural necessity, is Australia to abandon all morality in the interest of worshipping cultures? Anybody, why not worship Hitler's? It was a culture, a vulture culture. And is it not a vulture culture, or any culture, where children are permitted by a permissiveness of cultural recognition to be abused? I say there has been, as one of the cultural outposts, of which that is merely an example, a taking over of institutions, some primary, secondary and tertiary, by mere posturing, social preference, cultural captivity results. It would be just as foolish to pretend that no errors were made when some children were taken, or that only Christians performed those things, or that Christians never erred, as to premise the distortion that all were wrong who delivered children and moved them. Meanwhile, as these cultural and naturalistic fantasies proceed, there's repetitive collision with fact. Despite the conflict constantly engendered by new developments, unyielding evidence which refuses to be subdued as the schools are subdued. There's government direction for protection. No one may raise his voice in school, in a science class, and say, no, you have broken 4 or 5 or 6 empirical facts. You have ignored them. One empirical contradiction is enough to remove a theory, to send it off bandaged to repair or never to return. You have multiples, and you will never relent, and you insist that this stuff, which came from nowhere in particular, and no ground, no basis, and it obviously can't prepare itself, ask it to, especially when it wasn't there. You have all this stuff with your Big Bang constantly on the televisions. The Big Bang. Something that came from nowhere, conveniently placed into space and time which came from nowhere, and compressed with forces which came from nowhere, to make it one amazingly compressed, unthinkable thing which came from nowhere. To expand in ways which didn't wreck anything. Well, there wasn't anything to wreck anyway. Because if there had been, it's just another bringing of everything from nowhere. So that you get nowhere, but you get everywhere, which is one of the greatest logical collisions of all time. And this is bound, either directly or by omission of the rational alternative. And the children are gagged. You wouldn't think it was necessary to gag children when these monstrosities of nature myths, that's all they are, assumed entities without any demonstrable being and without any relative results, which are pushed in from nowhere. That's a myth. God exists forever and evidences himself everywhere, logically, empirically, and in all ways. But this is contrary to reason, contrary to fact. It contradicts the evidence. And what are the results? One, this is a mental assault on minors. I don't distinguish between mental and physical in this. Assault is assault. Our children are being assaulted. They are not allowed to resist. If they do, their professional careers are at risk. This is a removal of freedom of religion. Even the United Nations Declaration concerning the elimination of prejudice, of religious discrimination, even it insists that no one must be denied the privileges distinctly that others have, or must have access on a free and equal basis, and this is not that. This is a law-breaking nation which has stated, we accept this, it's law, this UN stuff. But we will not do it. What do you expect will happen if the Aboriginals are famous in some of their territories for their cultural ways with children? What about the others? All children, not just some. Since this is ultimately a religious matter, science certainly can't defend it. This is a removal of freedom of religion. This is an insistence on untenable worldviews which no one can make to act. Even the current professor in America of one of the world's greatest and most famous universities says, even if it sounds like just so stories, even if it seems ridiculous, the words of this sort, we all still believe it. And this is rationally obvious. One would never have thought so. This is gross persecution in the name of education. This is mental and spiritual abuse to be endured in order to find a profession. This is a denial of the rights of the child. This is subversion by propaganda. This is a requirement that the children regurgitate the stuff in order to pass their exams. This is exposure of the young to insufferable intolerance. This is replacement of evidentially based conformity to scientific method by preferred and partisan cultural flags. This is a national calamity with unverified and even anti-verified ideas that abuses political power to forward a cultural program with the zeal of the Nazis, the oblivion of the communist, the USSR, and the folly that man so often manages, when he acts as if the God of creation must not be discussed, and anything else may be, even if it's impossible and absurd. But that's not all. There's a second movement afoot. It all comes back to naturalism. There's an institution of a plan. It's looked for. There are even possible changes of the constitution, which I understand from the Prime Minister she doesn't think the people are yet ready for. But that is to say from reports of her statements. But there is a plan for Aborigines in some things to be past our law. An a-legal protectorate. Their cultures, what are their cultures? What are our cultures? What are cultures? They're what people do and think. Does that mean that every madman, like Hitler, every tyrant, which invented USSR's communism, has a culture, is to be respected, is to be revered, is to have sacred places, or sacred rites, or sacred thoughts, like the Darwinism, which from that same university in America has been flayed by one of his leading professors. Past law. The protection of people from other people is not to apply in this case. If you give more rights to some, you take less for others. This becomes a partisanship of racism of the most acutely obvious kind. This race shall be treated this way. All the others of dozens of races that have come from elsewhere, they are to be compromised, ignored, displaced, downgraded. They are to be nothing. These are to be elevated. If they do something, they're protected. And what if their protection means your rejection? That you will be criticized, fined, imprisoned because you didn't accept the sacredness of the particular culture of one particular race? That is racism. This is an attack which leads to racism in a country. It leads to division. It leads to a disruption of unity. It leads to looking at one another and seeing what advantages a special protectorate situations can confer on someone. It can lead to grabbings for land, grabbings for personal wealth. Human nature doesn't alter for this race or that. Let's get rid of this racism. Let's not give some people the power to abuse privileges by not having those privileges. Let's have the law for all. And if you want to be kind for any reason to some people, great. But don't scourge the others in the process. And don't lead to foolish ideas which make man of different races so that he's scarcely human, up or down, whatever way you want to think of it. He is so different that he needs other laws. What an insult to the Aborigines. What degradation. Let them stand as others stand and help whomever you want to help. Whatever the skin, let's get rid of this racism. But that's not all. There is also a third thing. These waves are not coming together by chance. There's also a plan to inspect the news and to reject what you don't like. One of the ideas was, well, we don't want to have papers day after day attacking something that the government is doing. Oh, why not? What government might not like such a privilege, talking of privileges? I would have one race, the government, and the other race, everything else, and the government has to have all power. All power is given unto the government in heaven and earth. Is that what it is to be? Put these things together and it's coming close to it. The government is to have the power to speak day in and day out about what it wants, repetitively to nausea. But newspapers are not to be permitted, or anybody else for that matter, with his little sight, his little personal sight, to criticize and to correct. What if you'd said that when Hitler was coming to power? Or Mussolini? Mussolini looked so nice to many. Social, desirable, thoughtful, bringing relief from this and that. Had he been criticized more consistently and persistently? Had people been free to show the faults and follies in time, even if it takes a while for people to wake up? World wars might have been prevented. This despicable tyranny projected over the press is one of the worst things I personally have ever seen in Australian history. It's a sort of gluttonous desire to swallow up liberty into a victory for authority, and it is to institute a group of people. And they are to examine and to consider whether this little personal blog has said something that they don't really quite like, or whether this newspaper has done something they think rather unfortunate. And who are they? Are they God? Do they know all facets? Are they instructed in all wisdom? Has sin never been heard of on their omniscient shores? Are they to be trusted with the entire liberty in religion and everything else because it all relates to newspapers and to news? Why? May I ask, why? Why are we to give deity status to men? Why is humanism to be allowed to have its idols in this world? Obviously, this is a religious putsch. This is an institution of totalitarian executive power over the thoughts and the reading, the criticisms and the concerns of the people. If you want more news freedoms, great. Have more, but don't have less. As to us Christians, we use spiritual methods, spiritual weapons. We're not interested in going and making violent exhibitions. We may not fight the night, but let us at least put light into it. Put light into it. Let us look at Philippians. Philippians 2:15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom, what? You shine. Why? As lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Lights. When I was a principal of a school, I would never have dreamt of allowing anyone to say to me, accept this curriculum or no pay from the government. How could any Christian say yes to that? And if a resistance came, one man said, I'll close my school. You'll have 500 students on your hands before I will accept that particular approach to morality which they were thrusting upon. If people had stood firm where the Word of God is, shining as lights, suffering all things, but never departing from the truth, being obedient in all things, bringing up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, how would this detestable situation have ever gained the stature and strength that it has, with scarcely a murmur left? This would again subvert the provisions of the Constitution. Bringing in by force, these people can say, you're wrong. We use the following punishment, or you must apologize. What if somebody used a biblical approach to sexuality? You must apologize. Well, obviously the person's going to say, don't be ridiculous. I have reason, revelation, law, truth, and tradition on my side, and you tell me to apologize. For what? For believing the Bible? I'm supposed to do what he commands. I'm supposed to keep to this word and apply it. And you tell me to apologize? Who are you? Are you greater than the God of the Bible? Answer me yes or no. Are you greater than the God of the Bible? Tell us. Give me your authorities. What are your credentials? The government? Right, government. Are you God? Right. Are you greater than God or not? On what grounds dare you ask someone to apologize for applying the Bible? Were you ever elected to become God? I haven't heard of it. Try the next election before you try this. And in the meantime, a referendum. Do the people want to sacrifice liberty? So that a few men, a few people, can decide what is truth, what is not, what will stand, what will not, what needs apology, what does not, who may have liberty to say this, and who may not. Has Australia become a congregation of ninnies? I believe not. Well, let's be shown that it is not by what we will not tolerate. How will we not tolerate it? By doing everything in our power to prevent such an outcome as this matter of news, the same as in the other matters. It is one thing for a culture to move this way or that. It's another to make the law, L-O-R-E, the current state of thought and feeling, into law, L-A-W. If you're going to forever be following the natural L-O-R-E into L-A-W, you will have constant friction, difficulties, dissensions, overlordship, abuse of power. You'll have what we've got. And this must not continue because, like a disease, though it's very strong, it has only been a short time in vigorous operation, and politically it should be overcome. Before we have a little red book summing up the views of the authority to be set up by the government. A little red book, this time perhaps not Mayo, but the cultural conception thesis. The cultural conception. The authority, the thought. You can almost hear the musical instruments shown in the book of Daniel playing as all must bow. It is nothing less. Bow to it. So this is the hall of nothing. Such elevation, if permitted, becomes a lax, voluntary yielding of the prerogatives of religious liberty. Let me repeat that. Religious liberty. Ever heard of it? It is on trial now and ready for dismissal by devious means and subtle social phrasing. Religious liberty thereby becomes ready for a chop-cut attack. Authority given the power of God, but without the wisdom or the glory. But why do I say a hall of nothing? It's because if you neglect God in your phrasing or your feelings, in your authority or your use of strategic enterprises, as this certainly does, and proceed with authority so absolute without even answer or review, you are based on nothing but presumption, assumption, preference begging, question begging. Then it is free to say what it will, the mouth of the authority has spoken, just as the schools are bound to listen to what it has already said in others of its type. Students bound, as if all of them had handcuffs, but they have mouth cuffs, lest they should speak against the cultural collusion with the rational theories with which they're indoctrinated to the dregs, day after day. Yes, you government people who don't want day after day a newspaper saying the same sort of thing, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, examination after examination, into university, the same old senile story, strategic social manipulation going on, a fairy tale, a myth without basis. And you don't object? There are those who do. You will answer when the judgment comes, except you repent. Not only that. It is as in 2 Timothy 4. Prediction is fulfilled. Let me read it. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, don't forget that, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Will that be permitted? Will the time come when to say what the Bible says is a crime? And this Australia is watchful, it may happen. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, in newspapers and out of newspapers, in blogs and out of blogs. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, yes, with long suffering. We will not let our feelings be carried away. We will seek to exemplify the kindness and the conviction, the boldness and the courtesy, all at once, with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. Causally irrelevant statements of the imagination with no observable basis in fact, which are the alleged cause of all things and of anything. That's what a fable is. This is what we're facing, and that's what's happened. The Bible has it covered in advance, and all of this third step with the others, leads to the captivity of Australia. How do you like that, independent people? We do not ask for violence. We ask for reason. We ask for wisdom. We ask for testimony. We ask for courage. We ask for character. Why should the national character of a nation which so many desire passionately to enter be subverted and surrendered, as is currently the case under the dubious and misleading phraseology of multiculturalism? Why should we be characterless so that anyone who comes from any nation can dictate to us, this is our way, let us do it. This is our law, let us follow it. Is Australia to become a stray dog, whimpering as every setter gets near? Is it without character? Even France is showing the meaning of a character of a nation. Is it to be subverted by any fear of being bombed or attacked by the United Nations? Do lights flicker? They can, but they don't give much help. Samuel put it this way in dealing with the matter of nothing. Nothing, you know, doesn't do anything, now or at any future time. If you want to put all your eggs into the basket of nothing, nothing will come of it. But you and I, we're not nothing, are we? So it didn't start with nothing. Listen to what the Bible says about nothing in 1 Samuel 12, verses 20 and 21. Samuel speaking, do not fear. You have done all this wickedness. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver. Remember Dunkirk? Why can't they? Continuing with Samuel, for they are nothing. Let me read that again. Do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, and an awful lot has been done in this country, in the matters just described. Yet do not turn aside, Christians. You have a very clear duty. Do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, not part of it. And do not turn aside, for then you will go after empty things, empty-headed, empty-hearted, cultural captivities coming from religious surrender. You will go after empty things, continuing to quote, which cannot profit. Think about that. Nothing and all that comes from it cannot profit. We're in debt, remember, or deliver. Don't forget, if some great nation, which maybe is having military practices up north, should decide to go south, you'd need deliverance, wouldn't you? Haven't we always needed deliverance? Didn't we need deliverance in World I and World II, World War? Has the concept become obsolete? Go after empty things, says Samuel, which cannot profit or deliver, and notice the end, for they are nothing. Some people in this country still want liberty. It's to be hoped that these things which are here or threatening will not come to pass. the denigration of God, the combination of religious and state power, in a wanton thrust to control everything that is not yet complete. Let us hope it doesn't come. But if it should, it is only fulfilling what Revelation 13 and 17, for example, have said, the combination of the beast, number one, that's just the ordinary national, self-centered, passionate force that leads to war, with the religious beast, the second one. We're in danger of having the religious beast instituted in this country, and have already looked at some of the ways in which it's being done. The religious beast tells you to obey the other beast. In other words, the law institutes the power to perform these things. Yet we do not trust in the Constitution, though it forbids what's happening, or the UN, even though it makes contributions in some areas, but rather in the Lord, who gave men the power to make and to break their governments, in democracies at least. And are we a democracy, or manipulable by manoeuvres, deviousness, and political strategies and social know-how? Truly our God is both great and glorious, has given to man such liberties as make one to marvel. Profoundly above all this social and political conditioning, men make programs. God makes men. Therefore, play the man. The days are coming when history rolls to its terminus like a late night train. Soon this age will finish with the return of the only one who has ever presented a feasible and compelling testimony as God on earth, Jesus Christ. There is no competition for reason and testimony and truth, for background and foreground, and for fulfillment of prophecies to this day, which is with Israel's return and the assaults upon it, and with the falling away of many of the churches, and the arising of this political power to debase religion and deface Christ anew without actually saying so. All these things are as predicted. Matthew 24, 2 Corinthians 2, and Timothy's, these things are as predicted. So God has covered history in advance by some thousand years in the Psalms before the things of Christ happened according to them, by some 3,000 years by things which are now happening in many cases. He's covered it right from Eden when he spoke that God would send man to deliver man. But who should deliver from the power of this great Satan? Came increasingly clear, it was God himself. He would be the good shepherd with whom Christ identified, and that was God. This is our God. We have no need of manufactured deities, socially constructed gods. Then, when he comes, there will be a consummation of all that has taken courage and character and wisdom and understanding through faith in God. Over the millennia, then it'll be wound up. The reason for all things, which is back at the construction of our DNA, as of our Bible, the wisdom back of all things, will then have its results. Wisdom's like that. God's like that. In the end, God prevails. In the end, the pandemonium of false prophets shown up as nothing. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for the beauty of truth, for the beauty of wholeness, for the wonder of the testimony of Jesus Christ in power, in graciousness, in thoughtfulness, in tolerance, in understanding, in intolerance of untruth. We thank thee for the peace which is past all understanding, for the love, height and depth and length of it, which moves beyond all thought. Thank you for the sacrifice of the Savior, the power of his resurrection, the certainty of his return. We ask thy blessing as we seek to shine as lights in this world, with long suffering, and with grace, and without flicker. In Jesus' name.